Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised.
Today, we're going to talk about the Phantom Barber of Pascagoula, which I had never in my life heard of this until I found me an Instagram reel about it. And I sent it to Ashley and I said, I'm going to dig up as much as I can on this.
I'm laughing because I actually checked that in the salon bathroom. I too remember this. This is weird.
This one is very weird. And you just wait till the latter part of this. You just wait.
I love that.
So we are going to Pascagoula, Mississippi in 1942. Mary Evelyn Briggs and Edna Marie Heidel are asleep in their beds at the Our Lady of Victory's convent. So I think it was an orphanage.
Okay.
But these little girls are asleep in their beds and they wake up and there's a man in their room and Mary's hair has been cut. And there is an article that I'm just going to read out to you.
I can't imagine how terrifying that would be.
But by the way, this girl is like 6 years old.
Yeah.
The girls say that it is a short fat man is in their room and that he basically like cut her hair and then scurried out the door when he realized that they were awake. And then by the way, all of this is on newspapers.com, which what like the amount of material they had was so much greater than anything else.
I love newspapers.com.
Once this story broke though, it was everywhere. Like, it reached far, like, as far as, like, Charleston, from Pascagoula, Mississippi, yeah, over to Charleston, South Carolina. Like, and the Chattanooga Times Free Press wrote about it. Another woman, this is a couple days later, says, Miss R.E. Taylor reported 2 inches of her new permanent had been shorn by the strange shearer while she slept in a bedroom with her husband and 2 daughters. She said, I had a vague feeling of something passing over my face, Miss Taylor said, and then woke up feeling ill. And so that is where they decide, okay, this man's probably using chloroform.
Okay.
So that's what they think that she's saying. But I don't know because, like, so back in the day, chloroform was like the movie drug.
You know? And it was like the buzzword of true crime.
Yeah, and they didn't realize that you have to hold somebody like chloroform over somebody's mouth for a long time to actually get them to knock out. So,
I mean, if you're just asleep and kind of,
yeah. And then there's another set of little girls who also have their pigtails cut. And so at this point, it's like, what is happening?
Yeah.
You know, everybody's kind of like uneasy. Everybody's kind of weirded out by this because this man isn't like violating anyone. He's just cutting screens on windows, crawling in, cutting hair and leaving. Right.
Still nefarious, but
still weird as hell. But things escalate quickly, with the next attack being the Heidelbergs, who are beaten unconscious with a metal pipe.
Oh, God.
And so this is where police really start to
take it seriously.
Take it very seriously. Now, you have to understand that at the time, Pascagoula is home to a shipyard that is building warships for the war efforts.
Oh, so there's like so many people passing through there also.
Yes, but they're also, because they are home to a shipyard, they're also under a wartime blackout curfew. So there are no lights on in the streets.
Yeah.
And nobody's lights are on at home. Right. And so what else is there to do besides go to bed early? And so this is prime conditions for this motherfucker to be sneaking around.
And back then, like, people didn't lock their doors.
No, but...
And even if you did, I mean,
there wasn't as much air conditioning. And so...
Their windows would be
open at night to let the breeze through. So he was just cutting through screens and climbing directly into bedrooms.
That's scary.
And so... the police really get to work trying to figure this out. And they do find some footprints that they attribute to the Phantom Barber and offer a $300 reward, which in the 40s,
that's
a good chunk of change.
Yeah. And everybody's under wartime rations, too. So $300 is like a lot of fucking money.
Well, a suspect is arrested quickly for the Heidelberg attack. His name is William Dolan. He's a 57-year-old German-educated chemist living in Pascagoula. A search of his properties yields a bundle of hair and some barbering shears. And they go, oh, gotcha. He is actually charged with attempted murder for the Heidelbergs, though. And so... the whole thinking is that he may have attacked them because of some relation to a local judge, but it's never really like concreted in.
Yeah.
William Dolan was known to be a German sympathizer. So everybody kind of, exactly. Everybody just kind of was like, well,
he did it.
He done it. And the thought was that he probably did it, the barbering part, to create unease within the shipyard workforce. Yeah. To make people stay up at night, to lose sleep, and then they're less productive.
But, like, what type of forensics do we have at this point? Like,
none.
How did they... okay.
None. So, I mean, they do find some footprints, but nothing that can be, like, definitively matched to anyone. Like, I'm sure a lot of people have the same shoes at that point, you know?
Yeah, they don't have any options.
So Dolan is convicted by a jury and sentenced to 10 years in prison for the Heidelberg attack.
Okay, well.
6 years into Dolan's sentence, the governor decides to do an inquiry on his case and gives Dolan a polygraph test, which today is not admissible in court.
Right.
But I'm assuming then may have been.
Big science back then.
He passes the polygraph test and is released from prison in 1948. And then he's never, like, officially pardoned. He's just released.
Yeah.
And then the next sitting governor actually pardons Dolan.
I mean, technically, he had hair. Something had to have led them to him. So, but like, I don't know what real kind of forensics they could have on him either way.
Yeah,
like, really taking 50-50 chance there, Gov.
Well, so Dolan gets out, goes back to Pascagoula with his wife.
The same place?
Well, immediately moves
out
of Pascagoula to Waveland.
Okay.
Which I'd never heard of.
I haven't either.
I
started saying you can't go back to the same place. There's no way they want you there.
Well, get this. He takes out a life insurance policy and then signs over everything to his wife and disappears.
Oh.
And then 3 weeks after this man disappears, a body is found floating down the Mississippi River, and the family claims it as William Dolan. Now riddle me this, bitch. The family laid the body,
yeah,
this waterlogged body, yeah, floating down, yeah, the Mississippi, to rest in Cedar Rest Cemetery. But when Miss Dolan washed the clothes she was given from the mortuary, she claimed they were too large to have been her husband's. And then in April of 1954, so we're going from like 48 to 54, yeah, here, the FBI inquire about a set of prints taken after an arrest in Sacramento, California. There's a man there arrested for vagrancy who is 70 years old and gives the name of William Dolan.
Why would you? But if, okay, keep going.
Photo comparisons of this William Dolan and that William Dolan prove to be the same William Dolan. The insurance claim is then denied that Mrs. Dolan tried to claim after she buried the quote-unquote body of William, yeah, Dolan.
Well, don't use your real name if you're trying to fake your own death.
Who the hell did they bury?
That too.
We still don't know.
Oh.
And that's where it ends.
Oh.
There's no more account of William Dolan. No nothing.
He just disappears into the ether. He just
disappears again.
Because, I mean, back then you could easily change your identity. Wow. One thing I have learned through this podcast, the 40s were so wild.
They had just enough know-how to be dangerous.
Yeah. Thank God we've had...
The records keeping around this hell was fast and loose.
Yeah, like, it's... I love that we've had advancements in technology, because back then you could just kill someone and change your identity and move away, and then we never hear about you again.
You should have seen me researching this one. I was like, no.
Hold on a sec.
Nah.
Like, that's it. But so he has descendants and a family somewhere, and they don't even know who he really is, I'm sure.
Wild as hell.
That is crazy. And rest in peace to the person that just disappeared. He's, I wonder if he's still buried in the grave of Dolan. That is a good one. I like that.
Damn, Pascagoula.
Do you think he was the Phantom Barber, or?
The weird thing is, no, I don't
either. That's the thing. I wonder, like, how did they find your hair? Who saw your hair that was like, hey, he's got some hair in his dresser. You should check him out.
He's got, like, barber and shears in there.
Yeah. It's like, did you just have some, like, weird, for some reason, had hair in your dresser and it led you to being the Phantom Barber? Who is the Phantom Barber? And when you were describing him, I was thinking of the Penguin off the bat.
That's what I was thinking of, too. The article, there's, like, drawings of, yeah, on newspapers.com of, like, the caricatures that they put out, and it's some of them are scary.
That is truly like the boogeyman to a little, yes, girl. Like, that is terrifying. That's kind of two stories wrapped into one. I love that.
It is. It, I was, yeah, William Dolan sent me down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. And just off went and did his thing.
Wild.
Wild.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.